Welcome to the panel warning, our online reviews bad for your health. You can see the hashtag up there for folks who want to continue the discussion on Twitter. My name is Cindy Cohen. I'm the legal director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I'm sitting in today for Jason Schultz, my good friend, who was unable to moderate today. But I'm very excited to be sitting in on this panel because I think it's a really important issue and actually one of the harder ones that that we think about, certainly at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We have a great panel here today, and our topic is, you know, are online reviews bad for your health? But the digital revolution has really meant that consumers of all sorts of products and services have a chance to speak back and have a chance to share their experiences with each other in a way that's pretty unprecedented, I think. I was saying before this, I grew up in a small town in the middle of Iowa, and everybody knew who the good doctors were and the bad doctors were. So it's not like this information hasn't been shared before, but I think that the technology allows us to share our impressions with a wider range of people, including strangers, at a level we hadn't before. While I think that's wonderful and it's certainly something we're very supportive of, it does present a problem for medical professionals that I think is a little unlike the situation that you have for, you know, your local taqueria or the barbecue joint down the street, because doctors are unable to speak back most of the time, certainly not specifically. And we wouldn't really want a world in which, at least I wouldn't want to live in a world in which the doctor could publicly talk about your medical problems as a way of defending themselves in talking about anything, frankly. I think doctor-patient privilege is really, really important. So we have a bit of a conundrum because I think that it is worth thinking about how this ought to work in the context of a doctor-patient relationship. Now, we've had a couple of situations already where doctors have tried to and people have tried to deal with the situation that I think are, we've had some course correction that I think is helpful. One of the first things and the reason I think in part that Jeff is here was his organization called Medical Justice, which was trying to get around this problem by basically creating a way to limit what patients could say through a very innovative but I think very troubling copyright assignment strategy. As a lawyer, I have a certain amount of admiration for people who can hack the law, but this was one that I think was ill-advised, and they have done a course correction, which I think is useful. But I think the underlying problem remains. I don't think gagging your patients or claiming copyright in what they say is the way for doctors to deal with the situation, but nonetheless, there is an imbalance in the way the information can flow. So I'm very excited to hear the panelists here today. I'm going to let them introduce themselves more fully, but we have... we have, as I said, Jeff Siegel from Medical Justice, Keely Combs, who's a licensed psychologist, and Vince Salito from Yelp. So we're going to have a lot of views heard here. We want to do some initial presentations. Jeff's going to give a presentation, and then Keely, and then I think Vince is going to respond to what they're saying. And then we'd like to open it up. I think this is going to be a fun conversation. I'd like people to participate. We have a microphone up here that people can line up to, but our kind volunteer will also come to you if you happen to be in the middle of the row and can't get out to answer questions, because I think we'd all like to have this be a dialogue. So let's start with Jeff. Give his presentation on behalf of Medical Justice. Thanks. Oh, and one last thing. Please do give us a review. Doctor reviews are problematic. South by Southwest session reviews are not. So please do review us. It helps the South by Southwest people figure out what people find useful and not.
Great. Good afternoon. There you go. So I practiced as a neurosurgeon for a decade, and I have a unique perspective, that of the medical world, but I've also been a patient in the past, and I think all of us will live long enough to be a patient. It's important to have a balanced perspective of what the medical world can provide. So Mark Twain once said, this is a long time ago, he said, if you don't read a newspaper, you're uninformed. But if you do read a newspaper, you're misinformed. And I think there's some analogies with doctor review sites, and we're going to delve into it. But I want to first start by making this kind of real. We've got this handsome young man right here. He's got a head wrap on, and there are EEG electrodes under his head, and his parents are faced with a very difficult decision, namely, will he need surgery to correct the seizures, and number two, who's the best surgeon to fix him? And this is probably the most important decision his parents will make in their lifetime. So with that as backdrop, let me first define the fact that I think picking a doctor, using a doctor rating site, this is more than a matter of personal taste. This is not a restaurant or a taqueria. If you choose poorly, there could be long-lasting ramifications, including the chance that you will die. So the question that really is out there is that do these sites actually help you make a good decision? So let me start off with a plastic surgery case. And against all the rules of presentations, I'm going to show you a butt. Okay, I've been told you're not supposed to start off with a butt, but here's a butt. This is a patient of Dr. Lawrence, and the patient is extremely unhappy with the result. The doctor, of course, said, "Hey, look, I'm a surgeon, not a magician." But at the end of the day, she went to another surgeon and had a second procedure done to supposedly correct the problem. And this picture is the handiwork of the second surgeon. Not the first surgeon, yet the rating is under the first surgeon. She is really irritated with him, saying he's deforming, he's a liar, he has a clear personality disorder. You can also see potentially some photoshopping in there. So you can imagine this was not a good way for Dr. Lawrence to wake up and start his day. But much more of concern, I think, is the other end of the spectrum, not a plastic surgical case, but a case involving an aneurysm. So what's an aneurysm? An aneurysm is a weakness in the blood vessel in the brain, which if it pops, you will die. It is considered a ticking time bomb. It often bleeds a little bit and then will re-bleed, and you really want to find the most talented individual you can to prevent it from re-bleeding. Now, there are two ways to do it. I'm a neurosurgeon, and the way we would do it is we would open up the skull, move the brain over, and put a clip on it, an extremely invasive procedure. But beginning in the 1980s, some innovative people thought perhaps we could thread a catheter up an artery and get a tiny balloon into this aneurysm and open it up. And some of the most talented people in the world were doing this in the 1980s, and they had more experience than almost anyone else. The challenge is that there weren't many, so these people had to fly from point A to point B. And this doctor, Dr. Joseph, needed a license to do that. Every time he went into another state, he needed a license. But he was just going in and getting out, so he got a limited license. The problem is that this limited license translated into a red flag on a couple of rating sites. The rating site said, there's a limited license. He must have had a full license at one point. That must mean that he's a bad doctor. And this is really disturbing because this is exactly the kind of person you want taking care of you. He is a doctor's doctor, someone who has more experience than almost anyone else, but there was a glitch in the software that made it look like to the world that he was not the right person. Some of the challenges of doctor rating sites, you don't know whether the person who's posting, because they're anonymous, is a patient, or someone posting is a patient. Who would post as a patient? Well, perhaps a competitor, a disgruntled employee, an ex-spouse, actually anyone with an axe to grind. Next, we talk about a wisdom of the crowds, and indeed there really is a wisdom of the crowds, but not on most of the rating sites. Average doctor sees anywhere from 1 to 2,000 patients a year, yet on any given site you'll see 0 to 3 reviews over 60 plus sites, so it's hard to really put this information together to get a good understanding of whether this doctor is talented or not. Next, as a doctor, I can't get into the conversation, and my input would make a difference. So for example, if the patient wrote, 2 days after surgery, my wound opened up, that's a pretty rotten outcome. But if the full story was, against medical advice, 2 days after surgery, I went back to work digging ditches, and then my wound opened up, that creates a context, and you would review it differently. So my point is that context really matters, and it matters quite a bit. Next, doing the right thing is not always popular. Doctors are asked over and over again for narcotics. Friday at 6 o'clock, doctor, my Vicodin fell into the pool. Is there any way you can refill it? And if you say, drain the pool, you're probably not going to get a glowing comment. So in 2007, trying to figure out what could be done about this, our organization promoted an agreement which basically said that patients shouldn't go onto the internet to review their doctor. And I'll be the first to tell you that's harsh. And over time, we softened it to decrease, you know, the restrictions to the point now that we've got a system that crowdsources reviews. The thinking being the more reviews you get, the more likely you'll be able to get an honest opinion of what the patient is saying. So what we now have or promote is an iPad in the office, and the patients can anonymously give their candid feedback. All of the feedback goes to the doctor. Again, it's anonymous and it's voluntary. And to the extent the patient gives permission, and then can go up to the internet. And these are not filtered reviews. They're real reviews from confirmed patients. Interestingly enough, a study was performed looking at, well, are satisfied patients the end-all and be-all? And a study was performed over 7 years looking at about 50,000 adults, and they found that the most satisfied patients went to the ER infrequently, which is admittedly a great outcome. But they also had a higher likelihood of a hospital admission and hospital expenses. And I think most interestingly, and I don't think anyone knows the answer as to why, they had a higher mortality rate. So the most satisfied patients were more likely to die. The study that put this together, that same study, so one question was, well, of course that's the case. The people who are most satisfied with their doctors are the sickest. They're the ones that need the most care, and the doctor gives them the most care. So then they removed, in their data analysis, they removed all of the sickest people, and they found out that the most satisfied patients were even more likely to die. So the point I'm trying to make is that this is a very complex situation, and patient satisfaction, I don't think, is the end game right here. It is important, but it's not the only factor. And I think we're going to be moving into a new domain. I think this is a very exciting outcome. Right now, we're mainly looking at customer service, but I think where we can go down the road is to look at more important things, which would be patient safety, or don't kill me, clinical outcomes, or make me better. And this year, Medicare is going to open up its giant database, and I think we'll finally be able to get some information as to how one doctor compares against another. Do their patients go back to the, are they readmitted to the hospital more frequently? Does this doctor perform more hip replacements than someone else? So I think this could be really exciting. But getting back to the point I started with, this is about people, and I did practice as a neurosurgeon. The most daunting decision a family can make is whether their son should undergo a brain operation. And this wasn't my patient, this was my son. And so if I could have gotten good information on which doctor was the best doctor to pick, I would have given my right arm for that. This is a picture. He had 3 brain surgeries over 3 weeks. This is kind of actually hard for me to watch because I haven't seen these pictures in a while. But this is after his first operation with my wife, his mother. Brain surgery on both sides. And the good news is he actually did really well. I want to close with one thought, the thought I want to leave you with. When will we be able to rely upon these sites? And I think we'll know the answer. The answer is when doctors and nurses choose their doctors based on these sites. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Keely.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to actually stay over here. I have one slide which I can show later if it will be useful to people about what I did with my Yelp page, but I'm going to tell a little story about my experience as a psychologist in private practice in San Francisco and some of the challenges I've encountered with online review sites. To start with, I just want to say that I feel really strongly that consumers need places to get good, accurate information about healthcare providers. I don't think restricting speech from patients is a good idea. I don't think it's going to help. And I feel like there needs to be sources of information where they can get good information, objective information, and something that maybe we're not seeing yet for them to find out more about the providers who they see. One of the challenges that I've experienced as a psychologist is that all mental health ethics codes prohibit us from soliciting testimonials from our clients. So in the past several years, all of these sites have popped up that are consumer review sites, and many of them feed in doctors' businesses as just a matter of course, lumped in with restaurants and car dealers and other services. And one of my concerns when I saw my own business being fed in to Yelp was, oh gosh, are my patients or my licensing board going to think that I've put my business up here asking for a review? And some of the thinking behind the ethics codes prohibiting us from requesting testimonials are that as mental health professionals, we're working with populations who are vulnerable to undue influence. So if you have a client who's coming to you to work with issues and they feel vulnerable and you ask them for a review of your services, they may feel a lot of pressure to please you and to not, you know, give the review they might want to give or even to say no. So this is a particular challenge for us. And at the time that I was dealing with this issue, I had a number of exchanges with Yelp asking them if they would please remove my business since it didn't have any reviews, positive or negative. And I was told that as a public business, that they would not delete the review, not delete the listing, that it had to exist there because it was being fed in by Google. So this was a bit of a challenge for me. And one of the ways that I dealt with this was to post on my business page on Yelp a description of some of the concerns I had about leaving reviews. And I still believe and have always believed that clients have the right to tell anyone they wish about my services or their experience of me as a provider, but I wanted them to be aware that they might be sharing very personally identifying information. I wanted them to know that my presence on the site was not a request for a testimonial or review. I wanted them to be sure that they knew that if they wanted to communicate something to me directly about something that didn't go well in their care, that I might not see it if it were on Yelp, and that I really wanted to invite and welcome direct feedback in the clinical relationship so that these were conversations we might be having. And also I wanted to prepare them for the reality that painful and difficult things come up in mental health treatment. And sometimes things happen that don't feel so good or that might mirror interactions that happen in other relationships. And the clinical relationship with a mental health provider might be an opportunity to work through some of those things. So if you short-circuit it by jumping to a review site and ranting about it, you may actually miss some of the rich healing that can occur if you actually talk directly to the provider about that experience. That said, I also think that this is a great way for consumers to talk to one another about experiences that they're having in care and also raise concerns that they have. But another issue that also comes up is that Yelp, and I'm sorry I'm using Yelp a lot, but there's other there's certainly other healthcare rating sites. But a lot of these sites really pull for people who are really angry and upset or people who are over the moon delighted with their provider. And I'm not sure if they're currently set up right now to get the most useful information that consumers need about their healthcare providers. And if there's one thing that I can say about every single person in this room, including every one of us who's sitting up here behind this table, is we are all people who are consumers of healthcare services. All of us want to find the best provider for ourselves and our family members and our loved ones. So, you know, one of the questions that I want to put out there today is how can we find and create a site that actually provides meaningful, objective data about the things that would be useful for us. And given that I'm a psychologist, you know, I wonder about information that you don't get from a site such as Yelp, such as, you know, what was the issue that brought you into treatment? How many times did you meet with the provider? How many providers did you see before you met with this provider? And were they all terrible too? Or did you meet with someone who was finally able to actually help you fix your problem? So I think there's a lot of information that's not really getting fed into the doctor reviews on a lot of these sites. And then in addition, the issue that Jeff raised, is which is that we are also bound by confidentiality. So, you know, whereas another business could actually respond to a review, whether it's to apologize or explain or justify, we're in a very different situation. You know, I can't even say to somebody who's left a review, you're right, I showed up late for that session and that I feel terrible about that and I'm sorry about that, because what I've just done then is identified a confidential relationship. So we are muzzled in a way that other business owners are not, and this also creates some tension and some problems. Just wanted to see if there was anything else that was really important to me. Oh, I did want to mention that one of the other things about review sites is that, again, it's a great way to communicate with other consumers who are seeking care and share your experiences. But there are also licensing boards that are set up for consumers who have been harmed or damaged by a healthcare provider. And an online review site is not the best place to protect other consumers. If anyone feels that something harmful has been done in the course of their treatment, I encourage you all to use your licensing boards to make a report about that clinician. Something to be aware of is that the details of your treatment may come up if there's an investigation, but that is the best way to follow up if somebody is doing something harmful as a healthcare provider. Things that go on Yelp will not, you know, it may hurt the clinician's reputation, it may not, but it's not the best way to protect other consumers if that's something that you actually care about. One of the things that I have done in my practice is I've created a social media policy which addresses with my clients the issue of Yelp and online reviews. I let clients know that they are more than welcome to review my practice or talk about it anywhere they want, whether that be on a blog or anywhere else, but that I won't be responding to reviews left on online review sites, and that I hope that they will also feel that they can bring this feedback directly to me. I also hear a lot of, I get consultation requests from a lot of clinicians who are in the position of having been negatively reviewed on Yelp. And sometimes they believe it's an angry patient. I've heard examples of an angry ex-boyfriend leaving reviews of his former partner saying negative things about his business. And one of the things, again, that's challenging is we can't actually go to Yelp and say anything about whether or not this person was a patient. So this is one of the challenges that we have. One of the things that I recommend to clinicians who are anxious about negative reviews is to ask people who you're not in a confidential relationship with, so for example, other clinicians you consult with, to leave a positive review if you feel that that will balance out negative reviews. And the last thing, which I think is extremely important, is that we need to begin in bringing in feedback and rating forms into our own services so that we're directly having these exchanges with our clients. So I recommend people develop evaluation mechanisms that happen between you and your clients that let you know if something negative is happening or if they're not pleased with the relationship or their care. And you might post aggregate data on your own website as an alternative to waiting to find things listed on a review site. Thank you.
Did you want to put your slide up?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Thank you.
And now I'm very happy that we're going to have, I suspect a contrary view from Vince Salito, who's a vice president of corporate communications and government affairs at Yelp.
Thank you. Thanks very much. And I'm not sure a contrary view, perhaps more of a complementary view or a supplementary view. First of all, I just want to say thank you to all of you who are obviously the smart people who remembered to move your clock forward an hour, and as a result, you realized what time it was and made it in time for this panel. And all the folks that you're going to pass outside on the way out of here who are going to come here in about 30 minutes are going to realize, oh, I missed it. But fortunately, I think this is being recorded, so they'll have a chance to hear it later. Of course, it's probably a questionable decision to come here, considering probably experiencing the nicest day I've seen since I've gotten to Austin in 3 days. So we'll be sure to rush out of here and get some sunshine and improve our disposition and our vitamin D levels. Little known fact that Yelp, while many people think of it as a restaurant-oriented review site, was actually founded to address the very problem this panel is wrestling with, which is that Yelp was created because our founder and CEO moved to a new city, got sick, and couldn't find a doctor. And wrestled with the fact that the only information about doctors he could find online was their name, the school they went to, and their insurance company affiliation. And while he was happy to know where they were located and what year they graduated, he really wanted to know, are they any good? Or do they have a good bedside manner? Am I going to be able to get in? Are their offices clean? Is their staff friendly? And can I make an appointment? And so that was really the impetus for Yelp, which now allows consumers to share their experiences about their interactions with really any brick-and-mortar business. And while folks probably write more restaurant reviews than physician reviews, it probably reflects the fact that more people go out to eat more often than they see a doctor. Hopefully the two are not related on many occasions. But it's also important to pull back for a second and remember that consumers have always talked about their experiences with doctors, just like they've always talked about their experiences with other businesses. They've done it with their family, with their friends, over the backyard fence. And so, in a sense, what we're seeing today on the internet isn't really anything new. It's just more visible. And in a sense, that provides not just challenges, but also opportunities, because all sorts of businesses now have the opportunity to see and hear what their consumers and their customers are saying about them, rather than hearing about it third hand, if at all. And that gives folks a lot of opportunities to improve or engage with their folks. Just a couple of statistics. While we are clearly a review site that's known for restaurants and shopping, health is a very growing category for us, and that involves all forms of healthcare, medical, spa, day spa treatments, all types of medical professions, I think are now in about a 5-7% category, so that's obviously a growing category. Something else to think about. Consumers really like online reviews. Just like consumers always like to talk about their experiences with their friends and their family, they also like the fact that they can now write about these online and read them. And this is somewhat evidenced by the fact that 66 million people came to Yelp.com on an average basis per month just last quarter. That means more than 2 million people a day looked at reviews of businesses, including doctors, on our site in 13 countries. And I think that reflects the fact that consumers are just desperate for information about everything before they make decisions. And so another important thing to keep in mind is that while they're looking at those 25 million reviews on Yelp, 80% of the reviews on Yelp are positive. They are 3 stars or above. So that's less than 1 out of 5 represents a 1 or a 2-star experience. And so I know that a lot of folks think of online review websites as a place where consumers go to either rant or rave and either give a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But in fact, Yelp reviews span the entire spectrum from 1 to 5-star experiences as consumers write about each interaction and experience that they have. And there are very many 3- and 4-star experiences in life, and those are reflected online as well, not just a review, a rant and review site. Not only do consumers like to see reviews, they have a right to do so. They have a right to share their experiences with their fellow friends and family and strangers, and consumers have a right to read that information. The courts have routinely held that free speech, and particularly commercial free speech, is protected speech, particularly if it's one opinion. And commercial free speech is so important because it helps consumers decide where to spend their money and where not to. In California, we're blessed. We have a very good law, and I don't often say those words. In California, we have a very good law. But in California, we have a great law called an anti-SLAPP law that is designed to prevent businesses from suing people who say bad things about them. The business does that knowing they're going to lose, but to intimidate or to get the speech retracted. In California, we have a loser pays provision in that law, so that if a business were to sue a consumer for saying something and then lose, the business, the loser, then has to pay the attorney fees for the person who had to defend their right. Unfortunately, in California, we find that while these suits are rare, they're quite often doctors that bring these suits. And we have a plastic surgeon in the Bay Area who sued a reviewer who expressed their opinion. That doctor lost, and they were charged about $50,000 in attorney's fees. And then, not having learned their lesson, they sued someone else a year later, and now they're in the hole for $96,000. So consumers have a right to express their opinion about their experiences, and the courts have recognized that, and that's why I think that trying to suppress that speech or trying to sue that speech is not going to be an effective strategy. Clearly, the genie is out of the bottle. What should we do? I think we should engage, and I know that doctors feel that they have a number of restrictions that they do have about confidentiality and the ability for them to not be seen as acknowledging or confirming that a patient, in fact, was a patient, or revealing or confirming confidential information. One of the nice things about Yelp is that we provide a number of avenues for conversations and information to be shared. So, for instance, the doctor who was one of those pioneers that Dr. Siegel mentioned, who worked on putting balloons into aneurysms and had to travel state by state, and as a result got a restricted license, or a limited license, excuse me. One of the nice things about Yelp is that we provide a platform or a forum for businesses to write about themselves. And so the very first thing that this doctor could have done on Yelp was in the About This Business section on their Yelp profile. They could have explained, hey, I'm very much in demand. I travel from state to state saving people's lives, and as a result, I've had to get a limited license. You know, rest assured, it's a very valid and high credential, and for more information about it, you can go check out this website to prove it's true. So it's important, I think, to solve problems with more information rather than less, and I think Yelp provides a good platform for that. Beyond that, we also provide an opportunity for doctors to converse with their patients privately. If a patient were to post a review of a physician on Yelp, doctor has the ability to send a private message, which we believe does not violate patient confidentiality or cause any of the ethical issues discussed, and say, gosh, I'm really sorry you had a problem. Were you out, in fact, digging ditches 2 days after the operation? I thought we discussed that. Or, gosh, I should have probably warned you not to do that. It would have been common sense. But maybe that's why your wound opened up. Please come back in and let's check it out. Doctors can even respond publicly so long as they don't provide information that breaks those ethical codes. And so, for instance, a doctor might say, I certainly can't confirm or comment about any patient or any of these reviews that are here, but I want folks to know that I take my care very seriously, and we provide state-of-the-art facilities and state-of-the-art medicine, and talk more about their methodology or their practice and put that out there both publicly, both in their profile or in their responses. And so I think that Yelp provides a number of ways to solve this problem by engaging and sharing information rather than restricting it. A couple of other points. One of the comments was that there really aren't enough reviews of doctors yet to be useful. Excellent point that crowdsourcing, and effective crowdsourcing, requires a large amount of content. And so I think the good news is that as doctors shy away from discouraging reviews and patients begin to feel more empowered, that they might then begin to contribute more. I would argue that encouraging patients to write reviews via iPad in the waiting room as they step out of the examination room, Dr. Siegel mentioned that that might be candid. You might wonder also if that might appear a bit coerced, or as Keeley here mentioned, that many patients feel in a disproportionate power relationship with their provider and want to make sure that they follow their orders or try to please them. And so I think important for information to be useful, it has to be unbiased. And I think we have to be careful that we don't encourage reviews that don't truly reflect experiences because they might be colored by authority of medical professionals. Those are my main basic points, I think. Just want to say I really appreciate South by Southwest giving us an opportunity to talk about this important subject. And if we have questions, I think we can probably get into the rest of some of these things, but I think we took care of them.
Great. We would like to open it up for questions. I think we have one. We're being recorded, so please wait for our friend with the mic to come around or come up to the mic, either way.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you and let you know I do marketing for a multi-specialty medical group, so this brought up a lot of ideas for me. I like the iPad idea coming out of the exam room because the visit is most on the patient's mind at that time, and you can have a more private review, but at the same time, we've dealt with the Yelp reviews, and we often do get pretty real responses that have helped us fix our operations, and we've responded to the negative reviews by saying, thanks so much for letting us know. Please call us so we can have a conversation. And that patient turns around and says, this doctor is fantastic, or this group is fantastic. They really care. They actually called me directly. So we found ways where negative reviews can be opportunities rather than negative experience. About Yelp, my question is, do you provide a platform for multi-specialty medical groups? I have to look up 300 doctors.
We usually consider each business an individual business. We face this problem, obviously, in the real estate industry as well, where realtors are individual businesses, but they're also affiliated with partnerships. I do believe we have both multi-provider practices and individual practitioners that can list directly. If you're talking about how can I upload information for 300-some doctors at one time, we do have that service. See me afterwards, and I'll figure out how to make sure we can do that.
Okay, and I also have a question is, do you provide an API where if I wanted to pull all of the reviews for my doctors and put them on their bio page on my website, can I do that?
I think you can do that. I think there's a widget that allows that, and we can talk about that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Next.
Hi. So I wanted to get your input and your opinion on, you said we need to get more of these doctors involved and more reviews so that we can appropriately crowdsource or get, you know, a variety of opinions about different doctors. So if it's not appropriate to solicit or recommend that patients review you at the office on the iPad, for example, I mean, what would your suggestion be so that we can all take part in helping to grow these reviews in an ethical, appropriate way?
Right. So the question is, like, how can we get more review content without appearing to coerce or solicit? I do think it is something that simply is going to take time organically. What we often encourage businesses to do is to simply put the web URLs for the various online review places either on a pamphlet in their office or on their window. We have stickers that we give businesses that just say, find us on Yelp. And that lets people know, that lets people who know Yelp and understand Yelp say, oh, you're right, I should probably write a review of this place like I do everything else. I don't think it's obviously a fine line between saying, you know, here's a place that you can go review me, I hope you will, and just making it available. So I think we need more content to make crowdsourcing effective. However, we obviously have to do all we can to try and make sure that that's as unbiased as possible.
Yeah, let me follow up with that. I think that every healthcare provider needs and wants feedback. I think that's the only way I knew how to get better by. I can certainly interview my patients, but it's helpful to get their impression of my practice. I can only know so much about the interaction. I don't know how they interact with billing, scheduling, et cetera. So I think at the very least, querying your patients is a good thing. I don't think that's coercive. And we've been doing this now for querying patients now for about a year and a half, and we've learned quite a bit. We've learned we get really candid responses, and I'm not sure we get 80% that are positive, but it depends upon the doctor. But I think the information is actionable, and I think the patients really appreciate having their opinion made known to the doctor. It's voluntary. If they don't want to participate, they don't have to participate. It's anonymous, so if they wanted to remain unknown, they remain unknown. But we think we're trying to balance a number of disparate interests to get the best of all worlds, which at the end of the day is how do we get better care for patients to let the world know about it.
Thank you. And, you know, I, the majority of doctors that I work with, they are surveying their patients after their appointment, but their quandary is that they want their surveys to be made public in places like Yelp then. And so, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to also comment on that. And there is a way that you can, in informed consent, say to your patients, I'm collecting information at the end of treatment about your experience, and this is something that I may actually put aggregate data on my website, and can you please check here to indicate whether you would like to opt in or opt out of that, for that to be used for that purpose. And I actually have just recently put on my own blog a little survey to try and ask consumers what kinds of information they would find most useful from online review sites or visiting a clinician's website.
And I can just add, in the About This Business section on a physician's page, for instance, there's quite an amount of room that you're allowed to write about your business. Publishing survey data that you've taken of your patients that you wish to share with folks about your business certainly seems like relevant information to me that you might want to say, by the way, we survey our patients after all of our care, and we're pleased that we have a strong rating. We hope you'll agree. Correct. Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. And all the ability to message and talk about your business, all of that is free. The only thing that's paid is search advertising on Yelp. Just also note that you, in that space, doctors can also refer other doctors as well who might have different areas of specialty that they think highly of.
Thanks. Next.
We talked about patient reviews, but has there been any discussion about bringing data in from like the OIG exclusion list or state exclusion list? Maybe just other sources of data that I wouldn't consider, you know, patients can say whatever they want, but there's some criteria to be on some of these other lists, to use that to help patients choose who their providers are.
Yeah, the question is can we bring in additional third-party data to populate the Yelp profiles to help give a more complete picture? The difficulty with that, it certainly is something we thought about, and this, frankly, this translates across all of our categories. For instance, is there a way for us to use city health code data for restaurants, and is there a way for you to know what that restaurant actual health code is? And the difficulty there is the disparate number of authorities and entities and differing reviews and codes. So as you can imagine, 50 states having to pull 50 different feeds and figure that out, and per city for health code, it's just a big data problem is what it is. The data may exist, but it's very, very difficult for us to get it all and get it into the right API. And so it's something we've wanted to do, but it's a very, very difficult task.
I have a two-part question. The first thing is for the medical professionals. I heard you talk a lot about Yelp. I'm curious.
Put it up a little. Can people hear her? No, yeah. Thanks.
Okay. I'm curious what you feel about other sites that specialize in healthcare reviews, like Health Grades, Vitals, RateMDs. Those are also sometimes organizations that give out awards. Do you feel like there's a conflict of interest? Do you feel that without patients actually being able to give text reviews and just star reviews, there's a different dynamic at hand? Could you just give us some feedback on that?
I think Health Grades is a step up in terms of not just being a paragraph of strong feeling. I like the kind of star ratings on objective, measurable data. And I think that can be useful, but I haven't seen enough of Health Grades that still gives me what I think I would want, both as a consumer and as a provider.
Yeah, let me follow up. I do think that when Medicare opens up its data bank, there's going to be a wealth of information that comes out at the end of the year. So one of the things that you want to know, for example, if you're having a hip replacement or knee replacement, is that your doctor does more than two a year. You want someone who does 50 a year. If you can, practice makes perfect. And that information should be available, and I'm guessing that Yelp, to the extent that you can, or maybe the doctor can actually put it in his profile. But this is information that will be actionable, which I think will be extremely important, and I'm guessing it'll be accessible within a year.
Just to offer the flip side, I agree, and just to offer the flip side of Keely's comment about wanting more objective criteria and star ratings, it's also important to remember that what consumers are really looking for is trying to get a sense of what will my experience be like? What will I experience there, and do I want to? And that's inherently personal, inherently subjective, and not really a star ratingable thing. I mean, people want to hear things like, you can't get a parking space, so don't go. So they want to know, like, this person is a great doctor, and every time I go, I have a great experience, but unless you call a week ahead of time, you're not going to get in. Or, you know, don't worry, the receptionist is a little a little crusty and a little rough, but she's really sweet after all. I mean, these are the things that people want to share and also want to hear. And so while knowing individual criteria and scales from 1 to 10 is important, I think also the ability to share those real-life color experiences is also an important part.
Can I add a little quickie here? One of the things that hasn't really come up today that I also think is important when we're talking about rating sites is the trust from the members who have left the reviews. And so a lot of times you're getting reviews from people who, maybe if you go and check their reviews, every review is a terrible review of everyone. They have a negative experience of everyone in the world. And I also think there might be utility in sites also developing the credibility of the people who are leaving the ratings as a way to also get more meaningful information.
I mean, if I can just add on that too, and I apologize for the line, but one of the nice things about Yelp is that rather than simply being a bulletin board review website where, you know, the last review gets slapped on top and it's just a piece of paper with it, all of the reviews that are written by people with profiles, and you have the opportunity to go dig deeper into that patient's profile and decide, gosh, this person is a negative Nancy. I don't need to really take this review seriously because they seem very difficult to please. And I think that's one of the advances that a site like ours has made, I think, which has been very helpful, is letting you determine whether the reviewer and you share the same tastes.
I think that last point was pretty important about the difference between a preconceived notion or the perception of what the experience is going to be like and what the experience is actually like. And I find that that's what a lot of reviews are based on that difference. So when you're talking about that and trying to get a more balanced view of what a patient's service is actually going to be like, what legal or political issues arise if you're talking about doctors reviewing doctors? You know, when I take my car and I call my mechanic friends, because I don't want to go on a site like Yelp and see that somebody that thought changing their tires would take 10 minutes was wildly pissed off about the fact that they had to wait 45 minutes for their tires to be changed. So how would it be possible to leverage doctors' reviews of other doctors so that somebody could have a kind of balanced review of, you know, what my butt surgery is supposed to look like? or is there something legal or political standing in the way of that happening?
Well, I think something that Dr. Siegel mentioned at the very end is that you'll know that these sites have come to the next level when doctors are choosing their own doctors from them and presumably from reviews. And I think that that's going to take some time.
Oh, I don't even mean choosing. I just mean somebody building a service where doctors are actually reviewing other doctors. You know, so, doctors for doctors, of like car guys for car guys.
So, interestingly enough, I think there, for lawyers, if I remember correctly, there's a rating system. Is it Martindale?
Yeah, Martindale-Hubbell.
Right? Hubble, where a component of that is what your colleagues think of you. And I wonder whether that could be done in the medical world. I know that there are low-level rating sites like Top Docs where you have to be reviewed or referred by other Top Docs. It's just not, I don't know how scalable it is. I can tell you that as a consumer of health, I was hungry for the information. And as a doctor, I know how to navigate through the system to at least ask some of the right questions, but even for me, it's a daunting task. And I think because we live in a fragmented healthcare system, the number of doctors I even interact with is going to be a limited universe. The doctor operated on my, I lived in North Carolina, the doctor operated on my son practiced in Omaha, Nebraska. So you can well imagine how tortuous that path was.
I will say that, because I'm a lawyer, that the Martindale-Hubbell ratings are not very useful. I think that, because people get great ratings, because it really ends up being kind of a popularity contest and you know, lawyers trying to give each other a solid or not, as opposed to an honest evaluation. And I guess I would caution that you have other kinds of problems when you're asking peers to review each other. You're still better off going to your friends who are mechanics for a straight answer, in my opinion.
I think the one phrase I wanted to leave with was the concept of referrals. Because once you do visit a doctor, one of the big values that they have is their referral network. Yep. So they refer you to somebody that's more of a specialist than them in whatever they think that you have. So if there's some way to get that referral network out there, and I don't know how to separate that from a popularity contest, but if you knew who these doctors were going to refer you for specific things, and you looked at it and saw, hey, the five doctors that my friends all talked about, all for this specific disease, would refer everybody to this one guy, I'm going to go straight to that guy.
Okay, thanks. I think we've got a long line behind you. So.
Thanks. That was a terrific panel, and I just have a quick comment and question. There's a new book on this very subject, Unaccountable, What Hospitals Won't Tell You and How Transparency Can Revolutionize Healthcare. It cites the example that the Washington Post covered, and I don't know if you heard of this story. A few weeks ago, there was a person who had a tooth infection, went to a doctor's office, basically forced to sign a gag rule that they could never talk about it, had a billing dispute, and put a posting on Yelp and ZocDoc, I believe, and then was threatened with a $100,000 lawsuit from the doctor for complaining about the bill online. I wonder if you are familiar with that case and if you can comment.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. The doctor, the dentist who advocated that had a financial agreement with the patient which said that if you go onto the internet without my permission, that there be some financial ramifications. It was actually $100 a day, not $100,000. But still, this is a lawsuit that's percolating through court right now. I think what you see or hear about is the frustration that some healthcare providers are having in terms of entering the digital age. When it was when people talked to each other as neighbors, information did clearly get from point A to point B. I practiced in a small town. I can tell you right now, you could not hide from anyone that you hurt, and you'd see him in Walmart. But how we engage in the new world is challenging and frustrating and likely to be messy. But I think that once we start to get better criteria on how to make decisions and judge doctors, I think we'll all benefit. I think the best doctors will benefit. I think the best doctors will find a benefit in terms of they'll have more referrals, and I think they'll actually get paid more. So there is something in it for the doctors. But as we go through these hiccups to get to that new world, it may be a little messy.
But I do think that's a contract that's void as against public policy, and probably an FTC violation, and I'll take the case.
There's a motion to dismiss right now.
First off, thank you very much for doing this. And I think this is like the wild, wild west in terms of healthcare reform and social media, so it's going to keep coming. One quick point and then a question. The quick point is that I think there's a limit to the portability of the metaphor of the small town doctor, because also in the small town, you knew if old man McGillicuddy was a little cranky. And in the age of social media, we don't really know. We don't really know what's going on for a particular person who's reviewing in the same way. The question is, in terms of Yelp, you proposed a really interesting idea to me about being able to private message back a potential patient, which I wouldn't do personally. That's not the style I have. But in terms of HIPAA and Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, that would be a violation of HIPAA unless you entered into an agreement with HIPAA. So I guess my question for you, being a little provocative, is I'm sure you've got the encryption, but would you be willing to sign a HIPAA business associate agreement with them so that doctors could know and therapists could know that we are HIPAA compliant when we talk?
I'm sure it's something we could look at. I think it would be very difficult for someone to bring a successful case that says a doctor can't have contact with a patient via email or private message, but if there's certain legalities in that respect, I'm sure we can take a look at it.
I think it would be the question of what private means, because private without a HIPAA compliance seal of approval isn't private in terms of healthcare. But thank you very much.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Scott Mace with Health Leaders Media. I'm wondering how granular these reviews will end up being. We mentioned the occasional cranky receptionist, but there's a whole healthcare team, and particularly for people who have chronic care, they may be seeing the same nurse every week or the same PT every week. And I'm just wondering, how does a system that evaluates doctors also become a little easier to navigate for evaluating other members of the healthcare team?
I think it's very straightforward. I mean, these are open-ended, open-text reviews, and consumers can really speak about anything they want.
Well, I just looked up a doctor in Austin, for instance, and there was a passing reference to one of his nurses. Mm-hmm. But you don't know which nurse. and you have no way of searching for that nurse by name or anything. So, sure. You know, yeah, sure, there's some capability for that in Yelp today, but I would say it's quite limited.
I guess I'm not sure what you would like.
Well, I mean, if I'm a habitual going to, say, an infusion clinic, I'd like to know which nurses are going to do the good job and which nurses aren't.
Well, I mean, I think at that point, then you have to rely and hope that the consumers that are writing reviews are going to be as specific as possible.
But the rating systems themselves seem, I'm just making the point that they're all centered around the doctor and not so much about the team. That's all I'm saying.
But Yelp's open-ended. I mean, you can go and you can start your own review of your infusion nurse, right? I don't think there's anything stopping consumers from doing that.
Okay.
Other sites might be different, but certainly in Yelp, consumers can review whatever the hell consumers want to review. Yelp, it's just a platform on that scale.
So I'd like to kind of step outside of the South by Southwest bubble a little bit and take a look at this from a different perspective, which is sort of, and maybe it's coming as a recovering political science student, but, you know, there's this way of thinking about problems in terms of their seriousness and sort of what the reaction is. You were talking about, you know, if you got stitches and then went and violated doctor's orders, then, you know, that would be a good reason that your stitches opened up. You would probably get, like, a notification from your doctor or some kind of piece of paper when you left the doctor's office giving you specific instructions, right? But clearly, bad information online has not yet caused enough physical harm or enough serious harm to get to that point where educating patients is something that is actually in the doctor's lounge, or, you know, if I go and I get a treatment or I have something that maybe has a lot of homeopathic treatments out there on the internet for it, you know, I'm not going to get anything physical, or there isn't really a consensus from the community about how to respond to that. And I'm kind of interested in how close we are to that decision from the medical community.
Yeah, I probably need another sentence on that because I'm not sure I followed the thread.
We have about 3 minutes left. Oh. So.
Just in terms of, you know, are we going to start getting, you know, if you're looking for medical information online, here are the top 10 things you
great.
Need to
okay.
know.
Oh, great, okay. Yeah, I think that's actually an excellent point. And so a few years ago, a patient would come in with a wheelbarrow of information from the internet and saying, here, doctor, what do you think? The doctor would pull his hair out. That's why there are so many bald doctors out there. But what I think the pioneering doctors have said is, look, here are 10 sites, like Mayo Clinic, for example, that delivers great information. You bring this in, I'll talk to you as much as you'd like about this. And so it's a way to kind of short-circuit the conversation or direct the conversation. It doesn't mean it's the only conversation, but it's a way to at least provide a little bit of a filter for actionable information.
Probably one more question. We've got 3 minutes, so maybe we'll get to you, my friend.
So far, this is all addressing online reviews regarding doctors specifically. However, I work at a Southern California hospital, and we have about 600 physicians who are credentialed to work at our facility, and I manage all of our social media efforts and all of our online communication. So I don't concern myself with their reviews, but I do concern myself with all the online reviews with Yelp for our hospital. And lately, we've had just kind of a bad run with a lot of not-so-good reviews. And in most cases, these people have been sort of the ranters, the very upset people, the very angry people, typically people who have somebody very close to them who is in a very dire and chronic situation. They tend to go to the site first, leave a small novella of what a horrible facility we've been, before even going to our phone number that is there set up for them to address their concerns. And it's frustrating because we look at our HCAHPS scores and scour press scanning regularly. And some of these reviews don't really reflect what we see from these other reviews. Granted, there's more of a time lag with those. But the one question I suppose I have with all of this is why, as a business, are there not other tools to allow us to sort of address these things? In other words, why can we not say flag a review that is maybe alarmist? I think we used to be able to once upon a time with Yelp. I might be wrong. I know there's feedback at yelp.com. But second to that, I will respond to a review invite the people to please call our customer relations department. Here's the phone number. We'd love to address your concerns. And then 3 days later, they still haven't called the department, but they've left another small novella continuing on their rant.
So if you want him to answer, we have to let him answer.
Yeah. But my point is, I don't get a chance to respond a second time, and they are allowed to continue to just pile it on time and time again.
I guess I'd say a few things, which is that, sure, it certainly can be frustrating when a consumer viewpoint that is published or a customer's viewpoint is different from how the business perceives itself or how the business feels it's viewed by other, perhaps, superior rating agencies. But the fact of the matter is that it's probably valid consumer feedback, and folks do have a right to express it. If a review does violate our terms of service, you certainly do have the ability to flag and let us know that at feedback@yelp.com. But to be honest, if a review represents a first-hand experience and doesn't violate our terms of services in not being a true first-hand experience, as in saying that, well, my sister went here and said it was bad, and doesn't engage in hate speech and others, it's more likely not going to be allowed to remain because we try to err on the side of protecting that consumer's right. We do allow businesses the right to respond, but we also do allow consumers the ability to go back and update their reviews. So I do think we're in a situation where this is a consumer review site that has an opportunity to provide feedback, and businesses have the ability to respond and flag. But at the end of the day, they have to step back and realize that consumers read these reviews probably differently than businesses read them. And consumers have the ability to weed through various reviews and decide which ones they're going to trust, which ones they're going to value, and which they might discount because they seem a bit alarmist, if you will.
So we're at the end of our time. I'm sorry, my friend. But thank you very much. I think this was a really interesting panel, and we had diversity, and hopefully we will head towards a world in which we actually will be able to have good information online about the doctors that we pick. I hope Jeffrey's world comes to pass.
Soon.
So thank you.